Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hi there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. Today, we are welcoming Belinda Farrell, who's so fun, and I can't wait to talk to her. She's really had an incredible life and an amazing healing journey that's so cool and fun and out of the box. And her story is a bit of a roller coaster ride, but she used her own challenges to propel her into her healing journey. She has been a film and stage and TV actress. She's also been on TV as a news reporter. And get this, she was a stunt car driver for TV shows. And the challenges that she faced, including injuries, really led her on a journey to seek healing, which she's done a great, you know, wide range of healing modalities, including training with Tony Robbins and doing a lot of firewalking with him. And she's also trained as a hypnotherapist and NLP master and reconnective healing and a HUNA practitioner. She also wrote the author of a book, Find Your Friggin' Joy, which sounds like excellent advice to me. And I'm just so excited to talk to her. So welcome, Belinda.
Well, aloha. Thank you for being so kind. And it's an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you. So tell us a little bit about your background. What motivated you to make all these changes in your life?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess I was in kind of a crippling marriage. Didn't start out that way, but it ended up, you know, you change, and if your partner doesn't change with you, it can become stifling. So I finally left when I was 40 years old, and then that's when I met Tony Robbins and started to do the firewalks, because I was afraid of everything. And I thought, if I want to break out of my comfort zone, what better way to do it than to walk on 2,000 degrees of hot coals? So that's really what happened, and it really becomes a metaphor for your life, that if you can do this, which you thought you never could, then what else can you do that you thought you never could? And what came up for me is that I wanted to drive a race car, and I was just curious about it. I just thought it would be fun, and so Tony teaches you this mantra, which if you say to yourself, I can't, then you must. And if you must, then you will. So I said, well, I can't drive a race car, but oh gosh, I must. So I had to find out where I could get some instruction, and I did that and knew nothing and ended up feeling pretty confident there, and they thought I had some talent, and they trained me to be a stunt driver. So I started to drive for Buick and Cadillac, and then jobs kept coming in, and it turned into quite a wonderful career in my 40s until my back caved in. And I was kind of an adrenaline junkie, you might say, and I was just really curious about how people get rid of their fears and how they heal. And I knew that we could heal ourselves. I just didn't know exactly how. And I was led to Hawaii during this time that I was doing my film, and you know, it was just in part time. You know, you do things that inspire you, and I really was wanting to know how people can heal themselves, and because I needed to heal myself. Mm-hmm. So I was led to Hawaii and learned about mastery of hypnotherapy and how to talk to the unconscious mind. And then I was introduced to the ancient kahunas, to their healing practices. And that really just literally changed my life around, because I started doing this forgiveness process called Ho'oponopono, to make right right. And it's literally cleaning the past, cleaning your perceptions that you have with the past. And as I did that, I would start to feel lighter and better. But it wasn't enough. I had to, of course, collapse with herniated discs, because I still wasn't listening to my body and how it was painfully hurting me, because I had deep issues in my lower spine. And so it was when that happened that I completely couldn't walk anymore, that I started really concentrating on healing the deepest, darkest part of myself. And that's what's in the book, a lot of it, the recipe of how I came to do this, because I didn't have any insurance. My insurance company had dropped me because I was no longer doing my stunt jobs and no longer doing act. I couldn't walk on the ramp. I couldn't walk or wear shoes or do anything that I had used to be doing before. So all I had to do was concentrate on healing myself, and that's what I did. I spent about a month in bed and allowed memories to come up doing HAB reading. This is all described in the book. You have to be willing to take an active role in your healing. And I was told I was never going to walk again, that I had this paralysis, I had nerve damage, I had herniated discs, I was a mess. And I also had scoliosis that I had been born with. So my spine was pretty much gone, I guess that's what the doctor said. And I still said, well, I've learned all this, you know, healing work, and I've got to see if it really works. Because what it is once you clear all that stuff out of your baggage, you can send the wishes and the desires up the pipeline to your higher self, which changes your physical body. Everybody has a higher self. We can all do this work. It's a recipe, and it's your dedication and belief that it's going to work. And for me, after I started to really concentrate on the healing, it was like 4 days that I was in bed during that month period, concentrating completely on this healing, that this memory was released, and it was probably the key to unlocking everything in my body, because, and it's on page 109, that this little baby was thrown out into the universe like a piece of garbage. And that's what it felt like I was just dodging all these asteroids and meteors, and it was just a fetus being tossed out into this debris. And then suddenly these hands came and lifted up the fetus and put her in the arms of this divine being that was up above all the chaos. And I looked down, I could see the chaos, but I wasn't a part of it anymore. And I felt loved, and I felt accepted, and I felt acknowledged. And when I finally woke up from that, I was in a pool of sweat. It felt like I had gone through a near-death experience. And I called my mother to find out what happened during my birth, that I would have such a memory of this. She finally admitted that she and my father had taken me to 3 abortion clinics.
Wow.
And each time it failed.
Wow.
So I pretty much struggled to get out here. And that's what the fetus had remembered, was that she just wasn't wanted. She was going through an abortion.
Mm.
And when I realized that I was wanted by something divine more than human, then I could start concentrating on healing myself and seeing myself climbing trees. And you have to have a strong back to climb trees. And I remember not just visualizing it, but feeling how much fun it was to climb these trees. And so the unconscious took that desire and just shoved it all the way up my pipeline to the higher self. And there was no obstructions in the way this time, because that memory was gone now. It had evaporated, and it was released. So I got out of bed, and it was like I had a brand new spine. When I went and had the x-rays done, the scoliosis was gone. The doctor said they had never seen a totally aligned spine, and there it was. So I figured, if I can heal myself, I've got to share this with other people. Because, you know, once you can heal yourself, all the money in the world doesn't even matter anymore. Healing yourself is the most important thing there is, and reaching your higher self.
Wow, that is such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing so deeply that, I mean, you just really went right to the core wound that you have,
yeah.
You know, and some people don't remember that, or, you know, in that moment of remembering and releasing, you are able to, like you said, I love how you say clear the pipeline. I love that, because that spinal column is like the pipeline to our higher self, right?
Right, definitely is. It's like a Roto-Rooter. You're like a Roto-Rooter every day, you know, clearing.
Yeah.
And I do the clearing process to this day. I mean, I practice it every day. It doesn't take brain surgery to learn it. It's four little phrases that you say to yourself when something comes up, when you notice a problem that you're experiencing emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever.
And that's the Ho'oponopono?
That's the Ho'oponopono, yes.
And can you share those phrases with us? I know what they are, but let's talk about them because they're so good.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I'm sorry. You know, you're just saying the stuff is coming up and you're a different person than when you made those decisions and those perceptions years ago and when you accepted the DNA from your ancestors. So when this stuff comes up, the unconscious, which is running your body, it's like a little two-year-old, it's holding all of those thought forms until you get the bigger learning from it, and then you can let it go. And then the unconscious can run your body more proficiently. Because right now, it's running your body based on those blueprints.
Right.
And so once you clear that stuff, it's like it dissolves. It just goes into the ethers with the words, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, thank you. And you just become lighter, and you then stay in the present time, and then you have more energy to be creative and, you know, have fun. That's what you're here for.
And it sounds like you really took that love of life and that fun into swimming with the dolphins and the whales. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'm the most least likely person to be in the water. I hated water. Growing up, I hated it. You must have had some, you know, some drowning experiences. I tried to be at camp, but I swallowed water. They had to fish me out. I was just not a water person. And, you know, even with my children, they'd go to the water slides and I would hold everybody's coat. I wouldn't go in the water. We had a swimming pool. I never went in the water. And so here I am in Hawaii, surrounded by water, right? Can't avoid it. Even with Tony Robbins, I never admitted to him that I had a water phobia. I would help other people with water phobias, but I was too afraid to even, I was too embarrassed to admit that I, you know, had this phobia. I could drive race cars. I could do all this stuff on the ground, but boy, not in the water. So anyway, I go to Hawaii and we're doing some practices to reach our higher self. We're doing deep breathing. And then for me, my higher self came in the form of dolphins and whales. And that had never been on my radar, ever. And it's like, you know, when the Red Sea was parted, all these dolphins and whales came swooping into my psyche. And then that night when I was dreaming, they were teaching me how to swim. And I'd wake up in the morning and I had this just amazing desire to go out and be with them. But I kept holding back saying, I've got to get in the water to go be with them. They won't get out of the water to come be with me. So my desire to be with them surpassed my fear of the water. And I had to find somebody to take me into the ocean. And it was pretty, you know, wasn't real easy in the beginning. But then eventually when I got out there and the dolphins came to me and they started downloading information into me, I was just transfixed. I didn't even know. It was as though time stood still. The water became the nurturing, most wonderful part of my life. And it's so warm there in Hawaii. It's like 79, 80 degrees that you feel like you're in a little bathtub. And I just started having these amazing encounters with dolphins, and they were taking me into places that I had never been, and more stuff was coming up, and that was 25 years ago. So I've been taking clients. I used to take groups. Now I take just one or two people. So it's like a one-on-one for a week at a time. And we call in the wild dolphins. These are wild. So they decide to come and swim with us.
Yeah, I swam with the dolphins when I was in Hawaii last, off the Nepali coast in Kauai, and there were a bunch of them there, and there were also a bunch of sea turtles there. And I really had a really strong connection with the sea turtles. And the guys who were on the boat were looking all down in the water kind of in this intense way. And when I came up, they said, oh, we're just watching for sharks because wherever there's turtles, there's sharks. And I went back in the water. Sure enough, I saw a shark, you know. And
Were the dolphins there as well at the same time?
Yeah, they eat the turtles. And I have the same thing with sharks that you have with dolphins, which sounds so weird. But I kind of love sharks, and they come sometimes up to me and look at me, and there's a whole thing going on there that I have with sharks. They're not warm and fuzzy like dolphins are, but...
Well, but that's a concern. I had my concern too, and I had to face one right away. And I could feel my guide saying when he started coming towards me, just keep moving to the side. Because if you don't look at them straight on, they don't think you're a predator. If you go to the side, you're less of a threat. And so I went to the side, got back on the boat. That was many, many, many years ago. And then when another instance came up, a dolphin kind of, you know, poked me on the arm and said, you know, look ahead. And this shark was coming right at me. But instantly the pod surrounded me and the shark couldn't get through. And he went right down below, and I never even questioned it. It was as though I was saying to myself, that poor guy doesn't have any friends to play with. Here we are, all big pod, and we're, you know, just playing the leaf game, and he's just this lone person, lonesome out there. That was my thought.
Funny.
It was so strange, but they were so protective.
How do they talk to you? Like, tell me a little bit more about that when you said they were, like, downloading information. I've heard that before, and I'm so curious about what that's like.
Well, it's like when you have a question, they can read your mind. They read what that question is before you can even get it out. And I get information. Each time I come away from a trip, I have clarity. I know exactly what my next step is going to be. I clear away all the debris in my head when I get home, and the dolphins have done that for me. There was an instance when this dolphin was coming by, and it had this remora fish that was kind of latched onto it. It's like a leech fish, and they're very bothersome, very pesky. And my thought was, I can help you get that off, because I know some Huna symbols and things like that to remove earth energy. And that dolphin was about 100 yards away, and he spun around and came back, and he plopped himself right in front of me with this fish flapping in my face. Do your stuff now. It was so funny. And I did the symbol a couple of times, and sure enough, that fish let go. And the dolphin was so happy, and just, you know, here we had this wonderful communication just through our thoughts.
That's so cool. So that makes total sense that dolphins would be telepathic, because
yes,
they communicate. I mean, they have their own language, but I think they're probably pretty telepathic, right?
Oh my, yes. Their brain size is much larger than ours. They just have the compassion, you know. They see us as out of harmony, because we have all this beta self-talk. They don't have self-talk. They have alpha and theta going on. So that's almost like being in the meditative state all the time, and except when they're feeding, you know, and warding off predators.
Right.
But they're, you know, when you watch them as a pod, as I'm sure you have, you know, you see that they don't fight for who's going to be the leader. Just someone takes the lead and the others follow. It's just a harmonious connection. I mean, we can learn so much by just observing them, and especially with the breath. I think they're very synonymous with breathing because they come up every 7 minutes to breathe or they'll die. They're, you know, they're conscious breathers. And in the same way, we have to be a conscious breather, because if we don't breathe up to the top of our head, we miss connecting to our higher self. The higher self has to have permission to come in, and it's through the breath that we give that permission. So it's just remembering to take that deep breath, and then it's a ha, exhale. You can do it in the car. You can do it wherever, all during the day. It can be like a meditative thing.
Is that the meditation practice that you do when you talk about clearing the channel?
Yeah, exactly. I also cut cords at night when I take a bath. It's a ritual of mine. So I put people down below, including myself. You just make them very, very tiny. And then I offer the forgiveness to myself, and I shake my shoulders, and I watch them float away. That's also on my CD, Chant and Forgiveness, and it's also outlined in the book. But it's not hard. It just takes a little bit of practice and establishing it as a ritual, and then you've got a huge self-healing practice that's all yours.
And what happens when you cut cords with people? What's
well,
the effect?
What happens is you release the perception that you had with them, which is usually a third dimension perception, and they get to find you at a higher level. They're released to look for something even higher so that you come back in a more loving way. It just strengthens your relationship. That's why you should do it with everyone, and even with things that happen in the news, because it's all a perception that we bring into our cognitive awareness. Everybody has the same perception. It becomes a thought form, and then we bring it into existence. If we lessen it, if we cut cords from it daily, it's going to lose its power. So I try to do that with all the yucky things that I see out there.
Beautiful practice.
Yeah.
And you talk a little bit about the plaque of your soul. Like, is that like unprocessed emotions, or what is that really?
Well, I kind of invented that because I would go to the dentist and they'd always find plaque on my teeth. And so in like manner, when we have negative thought forms, it creates like a cord that wraps around our organs. And left unchecked, if we've never been taught to cut cords, it forms like a plaque around our organs and, again, disintegrates, you know, our health.
Yeah, so it sounds like the cord cutting is a really powerful way to, like, let go of attachment.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah.
If we're attached to something, then we're emotionally bonded to that. For instance, you talked about the turtles, and I love the turtles as well. When I was first learning how to swim, which was in Hawaii, and I was starting to get my sea legs about me because I couldn't swim. You know, I couldn't even swim. And I still to this day, I swim better in salt water because it holds you up. But don't put me in a freshwater pool, I'll sink. But I was out in the ocean, and I was just practicing my swimming, and then I got caught in a little riptide, and I started to panic, and I called for help, and then all of a sudden this giant turtle comes up next to me, and I just locked eyes with him, and he just kind of said, I could hear him say, do what I do. And so I stopped struggling, and I just started moving my arms just like the turtle. And it just took me gently over the current, and he brought me over and safely onto the rocks. And when I gathered myself to thank him, he was gone. It's like he was never there.
Wow, that's such a cool story.
But I am just completely indebted to that turtle, because for me, it's like when you struggle with anything and you start fighting something, you usually run out of steam and you lose. But when you give into it, when you let go, something magical happens. And if not that, something more wonderful takes its place. So
wow, I love that.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't always think of the turtle. and don't struggle with things and let go, and you know, it just will turn out fine.
And if people wanted to connect with you to find out about your trips or find your book, what's the best way for them to find you?
Well, I'm on Huna Healing, www.hunahealing.com, and it's got my email address, which is belindaferrell44@yahoo. And you can go to Spiritual Journeys, and that will pull up a PDF brochure of the dolphin trips. This is my 20th year of taking people to swim with the dolphins. I've been swimming with them for now 25 years, and it just totally has transformed me. For my 60th birthday, and that was some time ago, I went to Tonga to swim with the whales with good friend Celeste Eaton, and that in itself was completely different than the dolphins because they're big.
I hope everybody, sadly we're out of time, and I want to talk about the whales, so I'll have to have you back on the show and we can talk about the whales. But I hope that everybody gets a chance to check out your website and your book, which, you know, I'm going to read from cover to cover because I just think your attitude is so lovely and clear. And I just really appreciate you being on my show today, Belinda. It was beautiful having you here.
It was an honor. Takes one to know one. You know that.
Well, thank you. And thank all of you guys. If you want to check me out, come and visit me at lisacampion.com. And thanks so much for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing here on Empower Radio, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.